Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our services last Sunday. We also want you to know that you'd be more than welcome to join us in person this morning. We worship at 10:30 at our sanctuary at 101 North Oak. That's the church with the clock in the steeple. Sunday school's at 9:30. We would be glad to see you. Now, thank you for listening to A Time of Hope.
Come from where we've been to where we are, and to prepare for worship, I wanted us to sing together, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Let us pray together. Gracious and healing God, in your presence we find the fullness of joy, life, and love. Expand our vision and write a new way forward upon our hearts. We seek your wisdom and guidance. We need your comfort and conviction. We trust your provision and power. As we come near to you, we affirm your goodness and the goodness within us. Receive our presence and our dreams of the world you help us make possible. Amen. O Lord, open our lips and our mouths.
Special music is a beautiful piano solo by Emma Kissick, one of our high school church members. Thank you, Emma. I wish I had a recording of
am a plank, and I could play it at home, you know, meditating and quiet. It's just it's beautiful to listen to. I really love to hear it. Emma has played at Salem Church and since I've been here, and we really have enjoyed it.
Carla Clennon reads our morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Matheny's sermon, Persistent Faith.
Our scripture lessons, the first one is from Psalms 133. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down from on the beard, upon the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessings, life evermore. Our second lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 56, verses 1 through 7. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteous, for soon my salvation will come, and my deliverance be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hands from doing any evil. Let not the foreigners who have joined himself in the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let it not be the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs, to the keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant. I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them everlasting name, which shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to the master whom and love the Lord in name, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does it profane it, and does and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for the peoples. Our last lesson is from Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the distant district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the regions came out and cried, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely possessed by demons. But he did not answer her word, and his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, Lord, yes, Lord, even yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Praise be to God. Here ends our scripture lesson.
During this hot weather, I'm reminded of some of the weddings that I've done during this summer. And of course, I've done a lot of weddings over the years. I can tell you a lot of funny stories that happen during weddings. They often say, you know, if you want to see what happens to people, people's lives and stuff, go to weddings or funerals, and you'll see it. I remember one funeral I did, and they brought one of the family members in, and he had shackles on from prison. And so that's an interesting thing to see. But I remember one particular wedding I had. The couple wanted to have the wedding in a park, which is something that people do. So they arranged to have in the park, and so everybody gathered, the family, and I was there. And the men were all dressed in tuxedos, and real nice, and the women were all wearing beautiful dresses, and the bride was all wearing a beautiful white gown. And it was very hot, I can tell you that. And so I started the ceremony, and as I was getting into the ceremony, first thing I know, one of the groomsmen fell out. He hit the dirt. And so the family, you know, they don't want it. So they come over and they picked him up and put him into a folding chair. So fine. So we started the service again. First thing I know, boom, another guy fell out. And so they came and, you know, picked him up. You know, apparently they had been celebrating, you know, the night before. And the hot weather didn't work. So we started the service again. So we start the service, and then the groom, he leaned over close to me and he said, "Is there any way you could hurry this up?" So I did my best to get this. No one else fell out. So I'll have to tell you about some more of those experiences sometime. But today, as you can see, the text that Carla read and that she was talking to the children about is found in Matthew's gospel. It's continuing the story of Jesus as he's teaching, preaching in the different places, sometimes to large crowds, sometimes just to individuals. And this particular story has to do with one person and his disciples, this little Canaanite woman. It's interesting when you look at the background of the story, that this is the first time that Jesus ventures outside of the Jewish territory that he lived and spoke in. It was a different place. And he withdrew there because he wanted time to rest and recuperate, to be with his disciples, to continue to teach them about the things which were to come. So it was a special time. Well, as often happened, people always found out where he was. And so this woman found him and came to him. And when she came, she cried out, "Lord, Son of David," recognizing who he was, "have mercy on me. See, my daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." And, you know, we honestly don't know what that means in our understanding, but apparently she had some kind of disorder that wasn't normal, and the little girl suffered, and the mother who loved her was very desperate to find some kind of healing. So the story gets interesting. It says, after she said that, Jesus did not answer a word. He didn't say anything back to her. It's almost like he didn't hear her. So his disciples, and they always have to say something. So they came to Jesus and urged him to send her away because you know, she keeps crying out to you. And it's obvious that the disciples weren't too compassionate or loving in this situation to try to help this little woman. She was just a bother to them, a distraction, and disrupted their time together. So they were not very happy. And so Jesus then says these words. He says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel," which was true to a certain extent. But the woman, she was not deterred. She said, the woman came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, help me. You know, please, please help me." And then Jesus says something very strange. He said, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." And, you know, that's one of those passages which is difficult to understand sometimes. It doesn't fit the image that we have of Jesus, who is always, welcoming children to himself. And he speaks about God's love, and he heals all kinds of people. He feeds the multitude. He does all kinds of wonderful things. And yet it seems like he's not really concerned about this woman and not hearing her. But I really think one way to look at this is that a lot of it is about the tone of his voice. You know, you can express yourself in different tones and different attitudes. You know, you can say things in an angry way. You can say things in a frustrating way. Or you can say things which are true, and yet it's said in a way that's more explanation than it is anything else. He's explaining really the way it should be, as he talked about not giving bread to her, to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. And I can't help but think about our dogs at this point, because the word that is used here in the Greek is not a word for wild dogs in the street, you know, stray dogs, and it's a word for domestic dogs, you know, household dogs, pet dogs. That's the Greek word here. But our son-in-law and daughter, they have two dogs. The one dog we've had for a number of years, he's like a boxer. And the other dog we haven't had very long, it's a little Frenchie. My daughter wanted this little Frenchie. Well, he might be little, but he's mighty. He really thinks he's the king of that house and control of everything. And like most dogs, I guess, he loves table food. And he always knows when we're eating. And so he's right there when it's time to eat. And he sits right beside me as I'm eating. He doesn't sit by Donna, he sits by me, because he knows I'm the one that's going to feed him. And so he sits there, and while I'm there, he's looking up at me all the time. He's just staring at me, hoping that I'm going to give him something to eat. And my daughter doesn't like it, but unfortunately for her, I do give him food. Not chicken, because he can't eat chicken. It has to be other food. So I just had that in my mind as I was reading about crumbs falling from the table. Well, this little woman is not going to be deterred because, you know, she's desperate. And so she is quick-witted, and she said, well, yeah, but even these dogs that are there, they eat crumbs that fall down from the master's table. I mean, she is not going to let this thing go. And what I understand Jesus doing is testing her faith. You know, it's like a little bit like he dismissed her, and yet he didn't. And she could have been discouraged and thought, well, if that's true, I guess he's not going to help me. But no, she realized that if she just stayed with it and kept with him, something good would happen. And it did. Jesus said, woman, you have great faith. I mean, he could see that. He realized that she had great faith. And it said her daughter was healed from that very same moment. Can you imagine how thrilled she was when she got home, saw her daughter perfectly healthy and alive and having this relationship with her mother and daughter and all the good things that were ahead of her. You can imagine the joy that she had in her heart when all this began to unfold. As I read this story, to me, it was all about being persistent in prayer, persistent prayer. So I looked up in the dictionary the word for persistence, and it said, continuing to do something even when it's hard. Other words that are used for persistence are determined, tenacious, diligent, refusing to give up. That's persistence. And when you look at the scriptures, there's a lot of different examples of people who were persistent in prayer and seeking after God. The Apostle Paul, in a number of places, mentions this. In Galatians 6, he says, do not be weary in your well-doing, because you will reap if you faint not. In Romans chapter 12, he said these words of instruction to us: be faithful in your prayer. Don't forget to be regular in your prayer. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, that wonderful chapter about the heroes of the faith in the Old Testament, and these people were people who suffered hardships and persecution and problems, and yet they had faith in God and they kept moving forward, believing God was with them. It's a wonderful chapter of faith. So, how do we persevere when we feel like giving up? We all have felt that way at some point in our life, depending on the issues. Well, one thing we shouldn't do is stop praying, because we're called to pray without ceasing. And that means that whatever you're doing throughout the day, your mind is set on God, and God is a part of your life in a special way. He's watching over you. And so you kind of have a prayer in your heart all the time. And I realize that we don't always receive the answer to our prayers that we would like. And or when we want it to happen, that happens to all of us. But I think if our heart and mind are focused on the greatness and love of God that's a part of our life, it's important. It helps us not to give up, not to be discouraged, to be disappointed, but to know that God is with us in these situations. One of my favorite verses is found in Hebrews chapter 4, and it talks about not to be discouraged as we pray, but instead to come boldly, that's the word is translated, boldly into the presence of God. You know, we shouldn't shrink back or feel like we're not worthy to pray or you know, it's God is not concerned about these things. No. It says we should always have this attitude of coming with faith and confidence and boldness before God in our time of prayer. This little Canaanite woman is a wonderful example of persistent prayer and faith. I hope you'll remember her as you go through life, that here's a wonderful woman who loved her daughter, who had faith that Jesus would heal her and was persistent in her desire to have her have healing. I don't know how many of you remember Winston Churchill. If you're a young person today, you probably wouldn't know him, but he was a wonderful leader in the country of England. I always am amused at the pictures of him. The pictures I always see is he's up in years. He's a rather rotund guy with glasses, dark glasses on. But he was a great orator. He was known for great speeches. And during World War II, you know, the times were not good for the countries of Europe. The German army was, you know, taking over countries and advancing in the war. And England, you know, was right in the crosshairs of that the advancement. And people were concerned, and they were frightened. And yet, in one of his famous speeches, Winston Churchill said, you know, as you face these things, you should never give up. Just don't ever give up. Keep on going ahead. Keep on having faith in yourself and in our country and our cause to keep going forward. So I would encourage you that no matter what you're going through right now in your life, it could be something very challenging, could be an illness, it could be discouragement, so many things that are a part of our daily living as we live our life. And they have a way of weighting us down and causing us to say, oh, there's no answer. I'm not going to be able to overcome this. No, I hope that you will not do that. You remember that God is with you and God is watching over you, and God is the one who promised to never leave us nor forsake us, even to the end of the world. And so I would say to you, never, never, never give up. Amen.